Welcome to Shakespeare FC, The Words, a five-minute journey into the individual bits of language that were forged, fletched, hewn, and hammered, and sometimes crowbarred, into existence by our brilliant and witty Warwickshirean wordsmith, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. Is it just me, or are we more prone to looking for shortcuts nowadays? Afraid to put in the hard yards, as my world history teacher/football coach would say. That's proper football, by the way, or soccer, to my North American listeners. But it's there, isn't it? Like taking an AI shortcut to write your essay. That sound you're hearing in your head are alarm bells ringing. Or those smart little workaround life hacks about organizing your bushcrafting kit. Or cutting down on your cooking times by taking a note from a Gallic gastronome on using mise en place. Those are what seem to be overwhelmingly in my algorithms lately anyway. But most common, though, would be shortcutting distance. And what would be the shortest method of doing that? Of bending space-time.
Captain, this end of the wormhole is currently stable, but the other end apparently shifts positions periodically. The Barzan probe had no way to recognize this. Eventually, both sides will be unstable.
Now, what is stable is the fact that back in 1957, theoretical physicist John Archibald Wheeler would take the work of German mathematician, philosopher, and theoretical physicist Hermann Weyl's 1928 work on theoretical connections in the electromagnetic field and coined the term wormhole. But we are leaping ahead of ourselves. Now, follow me down the worm, or rabbit hole, of my love of tenuous linkage. Interestingly enough, the Oxford English Dictionary places the first usage of the term shortcut in 1594. Why is that important? Well, I'm glad you asked. Uncle Will, in that very same year, would pen his Rape of Lucrece, and it was in this harrowing tale that he would first use the term wormhole, but in a more earthbound way. In this narrative poem, Uncle Will is at his most unsettlingly human. His tale of Lucrece is a place where masculine power, patriarchal entitlement, and violent lust collide in a single brutal act. Briefly, Tarquin, a prince who mistakes his desires for destiny, forces himself upon the chaste Lucrece, who, rather than live branded by a shame not of her own making, will be driven to take her own life. In the following lines, after the assault, she laments time, saying that its passage should end civil wars, it should reveal lies and bring truth to light.
To stamp the seal of time in aged things, to wake the morn and sentinel the night, to wrong the wronger till he render right, to ruinate proud buildings with the hours, and smear with dust their glittering golden towers, to fill with wormholes stately monuments, to feed oblivion with decay of things.
Lucrece sees time as, rather than defending truth and light, allowing the decay of monuments, permitting knowledge to be altered in books, and that image of those destructive holes eaten by worms. I think our fair uncle is illustrating how this moral corruption is a blight on not just her virtue, but the virtue of the entire empire. Now, quickly, worm comes from the Old English/Proto-Indo-European wyrm, W-Y-R-M, meaning serpent. Now, as for hole, you know the difference between your posterior and a substantial divot in the ground, I imagine. Well, there you have it. Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell until next time.
Shakespeare Full Circle is a production of WGTE Public Media and is sponsored in part by the generous support of the Cowie Family Charitable Trust and Michelle and Kelvin McElwain. All previous episodes are available at wgte.org/sfc and wherever you get your podcasts.